is another underlying problem over there. It's the general design. I mean, the animation system is designed like a tracks editor, that's called in Maya, or NLA editor in Blender. So there are basically strips of animations that should overlap each other in order to have the ease in and ease out process to happen. So the animations would be blending into each other. What happens in Second Life instead, it's the ease out tends to stop the animation, leave everything underlying to play, and then the other one, the new one, just kicks in with its ease in, and therefore there will always be that blending that might be looking not really nice. So what should be really needed is the it's sort of offset type of control over the animations in the animation overriders, so that they can overlap and blend correctly with each other.
Would it be a fair restatement to say of what you just said, and I have zero experience with this, so I'm just asking the question. Please don't read anything into it. Would it be a fair statement to say that at least under some circumstances, we're not correctly doing the ease out?
Not really correct. It's not only the ease in and ease out system, which depends on overlapping the strips together, not having them one consecutive to the other, one ending, so easing out, and after the end of the clip, another one starts and then eases in. They should be overlapping, so while the first one eases out, the second one eases in. So the two together blend without the interference of a lower priority animation under all of the other priorities.
Is it possible that that's because that's a race condition? Because one finishes and therefore begins doing the underlying default before the one that's supposed to be consecutive has actually been triggered in the viewer?
That might also be, but if you have an animation overrider with five different stands, after the first run, I think they should be loaded into the viewer, and sometimes this kind of effect still happens.
Right, but let me make sure that everybody is clear on this. Animation overriders, especially if what we're talking about is animation overriders that are written in LSL, are executing on the server. They're not executing in the viewer. So that means that a chunk of script has to get a chance to run in the server and send a message to the viewer, which then has to traverse the network, be parsed, you know, and there's queuing involved both within the server, in the network, in the viewer, then it gets into the animation engine and starts getting executed. And then if there's another animation that has to play, that's also got to go through those same steps, right? And there are lots of things that can cause the timing of the arrival of those messages in the viewer, and therefore their execution in the viewer, to be at best highly variable, and at worst possibly, you know, dysfunctional. That is, leaving a gap between those two animations that you intended to have be consecutive, but which in fact, from the viewer's point of view, are not consecutive. Right, the first one ends milliseconds or seconds before the second one is even known to the viewer.
A question: when that happens,
and I understand that,
do all viewers see that failure, or do some see the failure and some not? So, in other words, if you have a scene
that's really difficult to test.
Yeah,
that's right.
But I'm just saying, because that would prove that your theory, Oz, is that if there was some race condition, then some would see it and some not, right?
Right. Well, you know, we might be able to create, if we, in a perfect world, we might be able to create a test of that by severely delaying one and not another. But that's a different question altogether, right? And besides, we don't live in that perfect world.